Ah, said Officer Dean, this is where the girl comes in. Who said there was a girl? There's always a girl. Well, I said, yes and no. She was blonde, about 5'6", and my logical mind told me that every inch of her was a bad idea. The rest of me, especially my hind brain, suggested that she would be an ideal mate, preferably sooner rather than later. There was nothing in particular about her that should have caused my hormones to rage. I mean, she was young and fit, and she had the body of the young and fit, and that's hardly ever unpleasant to look at. She had eyes the color of cornflowers and rosy cheeks, and she was a couple of notches above cute when it came to her face. She was wearing running shorts, and her legs were smooth and generally excellent. Some women just have it. And no, I can't tell you what it means, because I don't get it myself. It was something mindless, something chemical. And even as my metaphorically burned fingers were telling me to walk away, the rest of me was going through that male physiological response the science guys in the Netherlands have documented recently. Not that one. Well, maybe a little. I'm talking about the response where, when a pretty girl is around, it hits the male brain like a drug and temporarily impairs his cognitive function, literally dropping the male IQ. And hey, how Freudian is it that the study was conducted in the Netherlands? This girl dropped that IQ nuke on my brain, and I was standing there staring a second later while she smiled uncertainly at me. Sorry, I asked. My mind was in the Netherlands. Her dimple deepened and her eyes sparkled. She knew all about the brain nuke. I just said that you sounded like a dangerous guy. She winked at me. It was adorable. I like those. You're into bad boys, eh? Maybe, she said, lowering her voice and drawing the word out a little, as if it was a confession. She spoke with a very faint drawl. Plus, I like meeting new people from all kinds of places, and you don't exactly strike me as a local, darling. You dig dangerous guys who are just passing through, I said. Do you ever watch those cop shows on TV? She tilted back her head and laughed. Most boys don't give me lip like that in the first few minutes of conversation. I'm not a boy, I said. She gave me a once-over with those pretty eyes, taking a heartbeat longer about it than she really needed. No, she said. No, you're not. My inner non-moron kept on stubbornly ringing alarm bells, and the rest of me slowly became aware of them. My glands thought that I'd better keep playing along. It was the only way to find out what the girl might have been interested in, right? Right. I was absolutely not continuing the conversation because I had gone soft in the head. I hope that's not a problem, I said.
I just don't see how it could be. I'm Connie.
Harry.
So what brings you to Norman, Harry?
Taking a look at a player, I said. Her eyes brightened.
Ooh, you're a scout?
Maybe, I said in the same tone she'd used earlier. Connie laughed again.
I'll bet you talk to silly college girls like me all the time.
Like you? I replied, no, not so much. Her eyes sparkled again.
You may have found my weakness. I'm the kind of girl who likes a little flattery.
And here I was thinking you liked something completely different. She covered her mouth with one hand, and her cheeks got a little pinker.
Harry, that's not how one talks to young ladies in the South.
Obviously, I mean, you look so outraged. Should I apologize?
Oh, she said, her smile widening. I just have to collect you.
Connie's eyes sparkled again, and I finally got it. Her eyes weren't twinkling. They were becoming increasingly flecked with motes of molten silver. Cutie Pie was a freaking vampire. I've worked for years on my poker face. Years. It still sucks pretty bad, but I've been working on it. So I'm sure my smile was only slightly wooden when I asked,
"Collect me?"
I might not have been hiding my realization very well, but either Connie was better at poker than me, or else she really was too absorbed in the conversation to notice.
"Collect you," she said. "When I meet someone worthwhile, I like to have dinner with them. And we'll talk and tell stories and laugh, and I'll get a picture and put it in my memory book. I said, maybe you're a little young for me. She threw back her head and gave a full-throated laugh. Oh, Harry, I'm talking about sharing a meal. That's all, honestly. I know I'm a terrible flirt, but I didn't think you were taking me seriously. I watched her closely as she spoke, searching for the predatory calculation that I knew had to be in there. Vampires of the White Court. White, Dean said. Vampires of the White Castle, I sighed. White Court, Dean grunted. Why not just call her a vampire? They come in a lot of flavors, I said. And this one was vanilla? There's no such thing as... I rubbed at the bridge of my nose. Yes, Dean nodded. So why not just call them vanilla vampires? I'll bring it up at the next wizard meeting, I said. So the vampire is where all the blood came from? No, I sighed. This kind doesn't feed on blood. No? What do they eat, then? Life energy. Huh? I sighed again. Sex. Finally, the story gets good. So they eat sex. Life energy, I repeated. The sex is just how they get started. Like sticking fangs into your neck, Dean said. Only instead of fangs, I guess they use... Look, do you want to hear the story or not? Dean leaned back in his chair and propped his feet up on his desk. You kidding? This is the best one in years.